Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, everybody? Happy Friday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. You are the absolute best for being here. Thank you so much for making Pack-A-Day part of your daily routine. We are here 365 days a year. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews. We appreciate that a ton. Today, we're going to be going over two main topics. No T. Higgins again today. I'm very, very sorry. We're going to get to that soon enough, but today's topic, a lot of coaching news from Thursday. Anthony Campanelli's out. Sean Mannion's promoted. DeMarcus Covington's in. Sean Dugan is likely promoted. We've got a ton to discuss there. That's going to be our main topic. Also want to take some time to go over the fifth-year options for both Devontae Wyatt and Quay Walker. Some interesting conversations there. So we're going to get to all of that today. Before we get there, Chris Huven, Christian Pagan, thank you so much for becoming Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members. Appreciate you guys a ton. If you haven't checked those out yet, make sure to do so. And if you are on YouTube, just really easily click that subscribe button. Same thing, if you are on Apple Podcasts, if you're on Spotify, wherever you are, just easily click that subscribe button. It helps us a ton. It's the easiest thing to do, and it really does help the channel quite a bit. So if you could do that, I'd be ever in your debt. As I mentioned, though, our topics today are going to be the fifth-year options a little bit later, but we're going to start with the main topic, the main event right away, and that is the variety of coaching news that we received on Thursday. As I mentioned, Anthony Campanelli, linebackers coach, is out. Sean Mannion promoted. DeMarcus Covington, new defensive line coach. And Sean Dugan is the leading candidate to replace Anthony Campanelli as linebackers coach. Let's start at that linebackers coach because I actually think this is arguably the most important one that happened through the course of the day. And it's disappointing, not totally unexpected, but this one stings a little. Anthony Campanelli was a really big hire last year for the Green Bay Packers as a linebackers coach. He was considered last year as a strong defensive coordinator candidate for a variety of different positions. And Green Bay was able to get him in as a positional coach. And then I think they gave him a run game coordinator title as well, if I remember correctly. And he came in, and by all accounts, by multiple people within the organization, he made an impact right away. And I think we really saw it in that linebacker room to a large extent. We talk about from assistant coaches, it's really tough to gauge how good one is from the outside looking in. But what we can sort of gauge it on is expectations at the position, how many just achieved, how many underachieved, how many overachieved, and then kind of balance it out. I think that linebacker room on the whole was pretty impressive last year. Now, your 1A linebacker is supposed to be Quay Walker. This is just one of those, it depends where you ask, right? Or who you ask. Xavier McKinney, just the other day, went on to say that Quay Walker is unbelievable, basically, and that he's going to be the best linebacker in the league, and waxed poetic for a while about how impressed he is with Quay Walker. There are multiple people in the organization that have stressed similar sentiments, that Quay Walker is doing great. In fact, we were going to talk about this a little bit later with the fifth-year option, but Goody said, quote, "We are super fired up about both those guys." In this case, he's talking about Walker and Wyatt. He's super fired up about both those guys' seasons this year. So the GM is super fired up about Quay Walker. Xavier McKinney is telling us that he's going to be the best linebacker in football. You ask PFF, you would look at my grades, which are, by the way, far less worthy than Brian Gutekunst and Xavier McKinney. I'm the guy grading it, and I would tell you, yeah, you're probably going to want to take their words for it over myself and PFF. But you look at our grades, and it's nowhere near where I think that what they're saying it is, right? And it's sort of in the eye of the beholder, I guess, to some extent. I think most fans would tell you that they are not an overall fan of the Quay Walker experience through 3 years, and there's just a disconnect there. And sometimes that's just the world that we have to live in. It's been there with Josh Myers. It's been there with a variety of different players in the past where the organization and those within the organization have a higher view or sometimes a lower view of a player than we do. Sometimes there's a player like, you know, and sometimes both can be right or wrong. You know, there's sometimes a player like an Aaron Jones in his rookie season where we're all just going like, how is this guy not on the field at all? Like, how is his first touch in overtime? And he takes it to the house for a house call for a game winner, a walk-off. Like, we all saw that, yet Green Bay would not seemingly put him on the field. And that's one where it's like, yeah, we got that one right. There's other times where fans have wanted to go on about how great Jeff Janis is, or there's a variety of others, and the organization's like, no. And then it ends up being that, like, I guess the organization was right. And sometimes they go on about, again, whether it's a Josh Myers, a Quay Walker, and I guess that story will still be told. And in other situations, they were on about Kevin King for a while too, and that did not work out great. So it works kind of in both directions. But right now, a lot of people very pleased in the organization with Quay Walker. I would say this about Campanelli's work with Quay Walker. For the first time, for about a 3-4 game stretch this year from Quay Walker, I thought we saw a legitimate improvement. I thought we saw the real true upside of Quay Walker, not a play here or there, like a legitimate three game stretch where I was focused in on it and said, that's, if it's that, you have a potential star there at linebacker, or at least a really good starter. Now, I didn't see it outside of those three games. And I think when we saw it in those three games, we were all sort of collectively like, where's that been? Like, that looks great. Just keep doing that. And then he got injured, and then the rest of the season was pretty nondescript after that. But I think for the first time, Anthony Campanelli really started to unlock that version of Quay Walker. I would argue that, pretty wholeheartedly. On the season, how you want to evaluate that as a whole, I'll let you sort of discern that. Up and down, inconsistent, sort of the Quay Walker experience is how I would kind of define it through 3 years so far. But I did think for the first time we saw it unlocked and it looked great. And now the question is can that continue? But I thought there was progress with Quay Walker from an Anthony Campanelli standpoint. Edgerrin Cooper, I saw somebody on social media post of like, yeah, I'm happy that Anthony Campanelli's gone, or it's not going to matter. I mean, he wouldn't even put Edgerrin Cooper on the field early in the season. It's like, whoa, Edgerrin Cooper was not ready for a full workload early in the season. And it's a credit to Anthony Campanelli that it went from a player who was barely able to get on the field early in the season because of Edgerrin Cooper, not because of anything else, not because the team was wrong, because he wasn't ready yet, to a player who was one of the best players on the field by the end of the season. I think that's a huge feather in the cap of Anthony Campanelli. Tyron Hopper, redshirt season. I don't think we can say anything good, bad, or indifferent from a Campanelli standpoint of what Tyron Hopper brought to the table, just because that was a true redshirt season. Eric Wilson played his best football since probably 6-7 years ago. I thought what he gave to the team was pretty impressive as somebody that was like the fifth linebacker, but was put into multiple roles within this defense and multiple spot starts and responded well to it. And I thought Isaiah McDuffie had the best season of his career as well. So we saw this linebacker group, in my opinion, as a whole, I would say overachieve to some extent, or at least show signs of real growth. And Edgerrin Cooper, a legitimate, huge sign of growth from the beginning of the season to the end of the season. And I think the really hard part here with Campanelli is it's so difficult to see him take Edgerrin Cooper and help him get to that point and now have to exit as Cooper goes into year two. That's the part that really stings here, because it was just feeling like, and again, I don't know how much credit we want to give Campanelli and everything like that, but Cooper certainly deserves credit. I'm sure Jeff Hafley deserves some credit, but Campanelli's the one that's in charge of that linebacker group, and he oversaw a unbelievable increase from game one to wild card round for Cooper, and I don't want to take that away from Cooper. So that part of it definitely really stings. And again, he brought great energy to the team. You always knew where he was on the practice field, and again, you hate losing him for the younger linebackers. This is a linebacking core that's likely going to be Quay, Hopper, and Cooper. Still three players that are super young, super talented. Those are your three primary linebackers. There's your only three linebackers that are under contract right now on the team. You would have loved for Campanelli to be back, but instead he will go to Jacksonville, be their defensive coordinator, and that leaves that linebacker coach position open. And that's where Sean Dugan comes in. Here's the Dugan story. 2015, Boston College grad assistant. 2016 and 17, Hawaii's linebackers coach. 2018, went to UMass, became the linebackers coach there. 2019, Ohio State grad assistant. Who was in Ohio State in 2019 as a co-defensive coordinator? Oh yeah, Jeff Hafley. And then Jeff Hafley goes to Boston College, right? Head coach over there. Who does he bring with him? Sean Dugan. 2020 to 2022 was Boston College's linebackers coach there. Then in 2023, he became co-defensive coordinator and linebackers coach. Then in 2024, Halfley and the Packers were able to get him to come from that co-defensive coordinator position in Boston College to become just a defensive assistant, not even a titled position. They were able to bring him in and make him now in 2025 their linebackers coach. At least that's where it's trending, and that's what the reports would seem to indicate, that Dugan will be getting this position as linebackers coach. Now, I love this trajectory for Dugan, right? From 2015 grad assistant to pretty much consistent promotions to getting to a co-defensive coordinator position by 2023. And the huge thing here is from 2019 to 2020, well, till now, I guess, he's been with Jeff Halfley this entire time. He knows the system. He knows what Halfley wants. He's coached linebackers underneath him. That part of it is going to be, I think, huge, and knowing exactly how to coach this system to the linebackers. And I think that's going to be a really important aspect of him going into that role. And of course, he was working with these linebackers as well as an assistant. And, you know, he's going to have that familiarity with Hopper, with Walker, and with Cooper. So I think that is a smart move for Green Bay. I like this hire. I know sometimes, right, you want that new flashy play. You know, like I saw somebody immediately post like Jared Mayo come in and be the linebackers coach. Well, like, yeah, that would be unbelievable. He was just the head coach. I don't think Jared Mayo is going to go from head coach to immediately take a linebackers coach job. Just do not see that happening. And I know everyone wants something like that, but guess what? All of these coaches, in order to get to, you know, these big time defensive coordinators or head coaching jobs, they have to go through this progression. And I think Dugan's shown consistent progression throughout the course of his career. Again, is familiar with the scheme, the defense with Halfley. I have no issue with this hire whatsoever. I think it's really, really smart. And by the way, he's currently coaching the linebackers at the Shrine Bowl as well. So he was thought well enough to go and do that at the Shrine Bowl. And he is now going to have a significant responsibility coaching Quay Walker, Edgerrin Cooper, and Tyron Hopper, three top 100 picks that are still young in their prime. And we saw last year, Edgerrin Cooper, the sky's the limit. So this is a big time job for Sean Dugan. All right, that brings us to Sean Mannion, who was promoted to quarterback's coach. There was some thought maybe of, you know, whether that was going to be Connor Lewis. Was it going to be Luke Getsy? Was it going to be Mannion? Was it going to be somebody from outside the organization like a Bobby Slowick or someone like that? It is now officially Sean Mannion. This one is a lot harder to discuss in any great detail. We know he spent time, obviously, with Matt LaFleur with the Rams in 2017 when Mannion was a quarterback there and LaFleur was an offensive coordinator. Last year in 2024, as an offensive assistant, was his first year as a coach, period. So he was in the NFL up through 2023 and then got that offensive assistant position last year and now moves into that quarterback coach position. Now, he was always a future quarterback's coach in the making. Matt LaFleur talked about it last year of how lucky they were to get him inside the organization. Multiple organizations were interested in Mannion last year to bring in some capacity, and most felt like it was just a matter of time before he would become a quarterback's coach. It is interesting that he bypasses Connor Lewis here. Connor Lewis was the assistant quarterback's coach, and Mannion was just an offensive assistant, and now Mannion sort of jumps him. Will Connor Lewis stay on staff? Will he be upset and will he want to go somewhere else? Does he stay as the assistant quarterback's coach? We'll have to wait and see on that. But that's a little bit of an interesting dynamic here. And I think if you're looking for a comp here of what Mannion could be or what you're hoping he could be, Josh McCown. Josh McCown, that journeyman quarterback who is thought of very highly, that came in and immediately made an impact as a quarterback's coach, is now in Minnesota. I thought he was, you know, integral in getting Sam Darnold playing much better this past year. That's what you're looking for or hoping for from Sean Mannion here. But this is a massive responsibility and a huge opportunity for Sean Mannion. Patrick Mahomes and KC, Saquon Barkley in Philly, we have our championship matchup all set. Who's going to bring home the Lombardi? Will KC three-peat? Will Saquon run wild? Either way, you absolutely cannot miss out on the last football game of the season with Prize Picks, the best place to win cash while watching the big game. And here's the big thing. Prize Picks is giving away a free pick where one of the starting quarterbacks will only need to throw for 1 yard to win. If you're correct on at least one other stat projection, you can win real cash. And that's not even all. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It is guaranteed. And don't forget that Prize Picks doesn't end with football season either. Think LeBron will have more than 39.5 points, rebounds, and assists? Think Donovan Mitchell will score more than 20.5 points? Prize Picks is the best place to win real money all year long. This week, I'm going to keep an eye on Giannis in Milwaukee, Steph for Golden State, and I'm going to look for Mikko Rantanen to make an impact with his new team following that huge blockbuster hockey trade. And don't forget to download the Prize Picks app today and use code Packaday to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code Packaday to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks, run your game. From a responsibility standpoint, they just made Jordan Love the second highest paid, or at the time, the highest paid player in football. Now I think second, if I remember correctly, probably be somewhere lower than that as this free agency goes along, but gave him a massive contract this past year. And you want to do everything in your power to put him in a position to succeed at the highest of levels and to make sure that you are getting your return on investment on that huge contract. And the Packers are saying, we believe Sean Mannion is the quarterback's coach, the guru, the mentor that's going to get the most out of Jordan Love. That is a huge responsibility for somebody who started coaching last year. Now, we'll see if that works out. He has gigantic shoes to fill with Tom Clements leaving, but he obviously had that year to work with Tom Clements. And I'm sure Matt LaFleur is going to be heavily involved as well. But this is a big time responsibility for Sean Mannion in just his second year as a coach. And it's a massive opportunity. If Sean Mannion helps Jordan Love and Jordan Love goes out and has a top five QB year this year, it will not take long for him to start generating interest as a, you know, probably a passing game coordinator and then maybe an offensive coordinator. And you could see Mannion rise up very, very quick. But he's got to master the quarterback's coach position first and hopefully get Jordan Love playing at a very high level. A huge, huge responsibility for Sean Mannion. With Mannion going in, in that quarterback's coach job, there was still some thought of maybe like, you know, yes, there was the report that Luke Getsy would be a senior offensive assistant, but would maybe still he have some role within the quarterback's room? No, it does not seem to be the case. He is a senior offensive assistant. There is still some buzz out there that Adam Stenovich may still be in the running for some offensive coordinator positions where he could potentially call the plays. If Steno does leave, I do think you maybe see Getsy go into that offensive coordinator role, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. As of now, we get a little bit of clarity that Getsy will not be in a quarterback's coach role. It will be as a senior offensive assistant, at least for right now. And then the other hire that they make is one that's actually from outside the organization, and that is DeMarcus Covington. Very, very excited about this hire for Green Bay. This is another really fun progression from 2012. UAB defensive grad assistant, all right? Starts at the bottom at University of Alabama, Birmingham as a defensive grad assistant. That's about, for at least D1, I think UAB is D1, that's about as low on the totem pole as you can get. The very next year, 2013-2014, he is still a defensive grad assistant, but he goes to Ole Miss. He's immediately made it to the SEC. That is a big step for Covington. Then in 2015, he goes from a grad assistant to a defensive line coach, but has to go to UT Martin. So sort of starting at kind of the lower end of the spectrum from what college you have to go to, but gets that bump to finally be a defensive line coach. Then a year later, 2016, gets not only a bump from UT Martin to Eastern Illinois, but goes from defensive line coach to co-defensive coordinator and defensive line coach. From 2012 to 2016, he goes from UAB defensive grad assistant, basically the lowest of the low for D1 college football, right? To Eastern Illinois. I know it's not Eastern Illinois, it's not like this huge powerhouse, but it's a good college program where he's now co-defensive coordinator and defensive line coach in 4 years. Like, that is really, really impressive to have that jump that quick. And that impressed so much that by 2017, the very next year, the New England Patriots caught wind of him and made him a coaching assistant for 2 years in 2017 and in 2018. He makes an impression there. And in 2019, gets promoted to outside linebackers coach in New England. And then in 2020 and in 2022-2023, so for the next 4 years, is their defensive line coach in New England. Then in 2024, gets the defensive coordinator job from the Patriots. We are talking about a pretty meteoric rise here. From UAB grad assistant in 2012 to Patriots defensive coordinator in 2024. That is quite the jump and very impressive. Now, it didn't work out last year, and not even necessarily him, right? Like, just the Patriots were the Patriots. But more importantly here is Jerod Mayo gets fired. If Mayo did not get fired, Covington would still be the defensive coordinator in New England. They bring in Vrabel. Vrabel says they're not going to retain him as the defensive coordinator. He did get the defensive coordinator interview with the Cincinnati Bengals. I think it was the Bengals. Did not get that job. And then now he becomes basically this, you know, defensive coach free agent, and Green Bay picks him up as the defensive line coach. And I love this hire. Now, this could be another one of these situations where, as a defensive line coach, they get him in and he does great. And if he does great, he could immediately be a defensive coordinator candidate again next year. And like Campanelli was, this could be a one-year stop. And if that's the case, it'll be a bit of a bummer. But he's done some really great stuff in New England. I love the fact that he got to basically mentor under Bill Belichick in New England and got to see that up close and personal. Belichick, one of the greatest defensive minds and attention to detail guys within the defense of all time. So he gets that mentorship, worked with Jerod Mayo. He's been constantly progressing and has former defensive coordinator experience, which you love as well. Now, Paul Bredel went out and said, went to get a bunch of different stats on where Covington was when he was defensive line coach. And this is per Paul Bredel in his article that he wrote for ESPN Lacrosse. Make sure to check that out. Paul's amazing, by the way. Go follow everything that Paul does. When Covington was specifically working with the defensive line, the New England front was steadily one of the more disruptive units in football. During the 2023 season, New England ranked 13th in pass rush win rate and were first in yards per carry allowed. First in yards per carry allowed, giving up just 3.3 yards per attempt. In 2022, the Patriots were 7th in pressure rate and 4th in yards per rush attempt. Then in 2021, New England was 11th in pressure rate, went down to 26th in yards per carry surrendered. And then in 2020, so we're going obviously backwards here. So from 2023 to 2020, Covington's first season in charge of the defensive line, the Patriots were 5th in pressure rate. But overall, in his 4 seasons, there was almost something. They were always doing well, and that pressure rate was good. And for the most part, even once 3.3 yards per carry is insane. Now, that's not just the defensive line. That obviously is the defense as a whole, and Belichick and all those sort of things go into that. But that's a great sign for what he's been able to get out of his defensive lines in New England. Former Patriots offensive linebackers coach Drew Wilkins on Covington, quote, his level of studying the game and being able to reference so much and put it together, this is a guy he's smart enough to coach every position on the team, it feels like. These are all quotes gathered by Bill Huber, by the way. Also make sure to follow Bill Huber and check out his great article on Covington. Quote, DeMarcus Covington, and this is per Dietrich Wise, former defensive lineman for the Patriots. DeMarcus Covington is a very intelligent coach, being able to read offenses, and he's always been able to break down other teams to be prepared for them. He's a very intelligent coach, very passionate coach, loves to give speeches to the team and get everyone fired up. He brings the best out of guys when he speaks, very passionate, not very loud, but when he does speak, his voice is heard. He has a great understanding of the entire defense and scheme. He can coach defensive line, linebackers, and defensive backs. He sees the big picture. He's a good players coach and can control the room. And then this was from Christian Barmore, the stud defensive tackle in New England. The man's got the wisdom. He has the mentality and he knows a lot. He's really a smart coach. I think he does have a chance to be a head coach one day. So some very kind words from a variety of different people for DeMarcus Covington. And again, I'm very, very excited about this hire. And he also has a huge responsibility on his plate, because we know that this is a job where they are hoping upon hope that they can get some big time play out of specifically Rashawn Gary, LVN, Devontae Wyatt, and Kenny Clark. Those four, all first round picks, all invested in heavily, whether it be with high draft picks or huge contracts, or in the case of Gary and Clark, both, they've got to find a way to unlock that front. And that doesn't discount Carl Brooks, Colby Wooden, Brenton Cox, Kingsley and Igbari either. You're hoping for jumps from those guys, but it's the top four, LVN and Gary on the outside, Clark and Wyatt on the inside. If those four can turn a corner and really play great football together, it's going to completely change this defense. So a huge opportunity and responsibility for DeMarcus Covington. Overall, like everything that Green Bay did here, I will say very bummed about Campanelli leaving. I think that's a massive loss, but I think Sean Dugan's in a great spot to pick up that slack and hopefully fill the gap there to the best of his ability. I like that hire. I like the Sean Mannion hire, and I really, really, really like the DeMarcus Covington hire. And I also like that they brought in Luke Getsy as a senior assistant as well. So it may be a while yet before we get all the confirmations on this from the Packers. They usually like to finalize everything with all of their coaching staff and any changes that they make and then kind of announce it all at once. So again, this could be a while, but these are all great reports from Tom Silverstein, Rob Domofsky, and the entire beat, which has done a great job of covering all of these moves all offseason long. And last but not least, I just want to briefly kind of touch base on these fifth-year option decisions for Devontae Wyatt and Quay Walker and why they are so interesting. Now, as I mentioned, Goody in his press conference, I went into that last press conference thinking there is 0.0% chance that these fifth-year options get picked up, at least for Quay. Wyatt, I thought there was like a maybe like a 20% chance. I didn't think it was completely out of the realm of possibility, but I left it thinking like, are they going to pick up both of these? Are they going to pick up both? Again, Goody said, quote, "We're super fired up about both these guys' seasons this year." That's aggressive. Super fired up? It's a little over-aggressive for me based on both of their seasons, but apparently they are super fired up about both Devontae Wyatt and Quay Walker. Discuss amongst yourselves if you agree or disagree, but that's per Brian Gutekunst. So here are the fifth-year decisions that Green Bay is going to have to make. Quay Walker. If you don't know, let me ask you, I'm going to put it out to you. I'm not going to say the number. What's the Mendoza line on that number? All right. These are 1 year fully guaranteed deals. Okay. So what would that number be for Quay Walker? And what would that number be for Devontae Wyatt in order for you to say, yes, I would do a 1 year guaranteed deal at that price? Would it be $8 million for Quay Walker? Would it be $18 million for Quay Walker? Would it be $4 million? Are you just ready to say it would be no millions because I just don't want to give him anything? Where are you? What's that Mendoza line? And then the same thing, obviously this is rhetorical. You can't respond to me. I get it. But Devontae Wyatt, what would that number be? What's the number that you would say? Yeah, like a 1 year, $8 million deal. I'd be willing to give that to Devontae. Where are those numbers? I'll give you a second before I give you the actual numbers. All right, time's up. That's all you get. Quay Walker's 1 year guaranteed contract, if they pick up his fifth-year option, is $16.06 million. 1 year, $16.06 million, fully guaranteed. Right now, on a per-year basis, now it's a bit different because it's a one-year contract, it's not a 4 or 5 year deal, but on a per-year basis, that would make him the fourth highest paid linebacker in football. And that could change this offseason if other linebackers get higher than that. But right now, it would make him the fourth highest behind only Roquan Smith, Fred Warner, and Tremaine Edmonds. That is an ask. 16.06, fully guaranteed. Big number. Devontae, I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that any of you that were thinking of your number out loud, that you would bring Quay Walker back on a one-year guaranteed deal, I would be willing to bet you that not a single one of you had anything over $16 million. I would be willing to bet that that is the case. Devontae Wyatt, 1 year, $13.1 million is the number for Devontae Wyatt. That would put him as the 19th highest average salary. That's probably going to go down, right? Because you're going to get Milton Williams and some other guys that get some big contracts. Levi Nwuzurike, Oso Odighizuwa, like those are going to be some probably big contracts. So that might move down to like 22nd, 23rd, 24th, but still one of the highest 25 paid defensive tackles in the NFL on a per year basis if you give him that deal. That one is a bit more tolerable. I don't think he's quite earned that, if I'm being honest, but you do see the upside there. In the last 2 years, he was in my top five highest graded defenders in both 2023 and in 2024. Sometimes kind of by default, just because there haven't been those big time players on defense for Green Bay. But still, there's upside there. He's a good pass rusher. I do think he's got better as a run defender. He's not great at it, but I can understand that. And defensive tackles with his talent are still really hard to find. So the Wyatt one I could see maybe. The Walker, as much as they think that maybe he had a, what do they say? They're fired up about both those guys' seasons. They're super fired up about Quay Walker. I just don't think that you can give a 1 year 16.06 fully guaranteed deal. By the way, if they said yes to both, that is $29.16 million that they are giving to Quay and to Wyatt on 1 year guaranteed deals. That is a lot of potatoes. And I just don't think you can do that. So what are the other decisions that they would have with Quay Walker and Devontae Wyatt? Well, the first one would be the Jordan Love situation. Remember, they did not pick up Jordan Love's fifth-year option directly. Instead, they compromised on a fifth-year option, basically, or on a revised contract that declined the fifth-year option, but then signed him to a one-year extension. And that extension was basically a compromise on the fifth-year deal. And what it was is it got that number down for Green Bay and gave him less guaranteed money, but baked in incentives to potentially get him even more money if he hit those incentives. So Love had the ability to get some guaranteed, but also even earn more money if he went out and played well. I could see Quay Walker and Devontae Wyatt being in very similar situations where Green Bay says, we can't guarantee you $16.06 million. We can't guarantee you $13.1 million. How about we bring Quay your number down to $10 million, but we'll give you an additional $7 million in incentives on top of that, where you could potentially earn, or maybe even $8 million in incentives, where you could earn $18 million if you hit certain incentives, but you're going to have to earn those. You're still going to get $10 million guaranteed on a one-year deal. That's a bit more palatable. That might still be far too aggressive for me, but if they are super fired up about Quay Walker, I could see maybe something like that making sense. If I'm his agent, I'm saying, yes, we'll take that. With Devontae, again, maybe you're saying, we'll give you $10 million guaranteed on a one-year deal. And then instead of that extra $3.1 mil guaranteed, we're going to give you $5 million in incentives if you hit certain sack numbers, pressure numbers, whatever it might be, Pro Bowl, All Pro, anything that you want to bake in there. But you can earn an extra $5 million. So you could actually earn $15 million instead of $13.1 million, and you still get $10 million guaranteed. That would be a good compromise, I think, for both sides. So I think something like that gets done for both Walker and for Wyatt, but I do not think you can just accept these flat out. I think it's too aggressive, and they had to sort of learn their lesson the hard way with Darnell Savage's, who they picked up and immediately regretted it and just couldn't get off his deal because if you cut him, you pay the full guaranteed amount anyway. There's no advantage to cutting him, and you can't trade him because then the trading team takes on that full contract, which is great for you, but nobody's doing it if you don't like that player or if the contract isn't worth it. So that's the one, is the compromise. Number two would be an extension. You could work out long-term extensions for Quay Walker or Devontae Wyatt. Maybe you work out a 3 or 4 year deal. You know, say, screw it. We don't want to just do this 1 year thing. And the 1 year, fifth year option is just not palatable, but we would like to sign you to a 3 or 4 year deal. They could work out something that way with Quay or Wyatt. And then the other would just be to decline it. You can be super fired up and decline it and go out and be excited about what they can do in 2025, both of them being in contract years. And if either of them go and tear it up, you can work on an extension, you can transition tag, you could franchise tag, you could do a variety of different things. I mean, look at it this way for Quay, right? I mean, this is the easiest thing of saying, like, there's no way you should pick up the fifth year option. The reason that is, we just talked about with Quay, you are making him the fourth highest paid linebacker on a per year basis by picking up the fifth year option. If you don't pick it up and he tears it up and you franchise tag him, you pay him less. I think the franchise is the average of the top five, I want to say, contracts at that position. You're probably paying him less. I guess it's an average. So I don't know. It's probably right around the same though. Either way, it's not going to be in an appreciative difference, right? It's almost going to be identical. And if he doesn't play well, then you dodged a major bullet. So I don't think there's any way you can actually do it with Quay. If he goes and tears it up, franchise tag him if you need to, or work on that extension. And same thing with Wyatt. Wyatt's a little bit different, where you can't really franchise tag him because those upper echelon defensive tackle contracts are massive. But I still think then you work on getting that contract extension if he starts to play well this upcoming season. But I just don't think you can take those fifth year options and say, we're going to eat $30 million in cap space on a 1 year deal for both of them in totality. That's too far of a bridge to cross for me. I think they either work out a compromise, decline him, or work on long-term extensions for both players. I will say though, I think both of them will be back in 2026 in some capacity. That's just a gut feel, no reporting, no nothing. I have a feeling both of them will be back somehow in 2026. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Appreciate you guys a ton. Maybe tomorrow will be T. Higgins. We'll see. That's the plan, but plans can change. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Arnaldo Espinosa, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Stepke, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, and Ian Ewing. I will see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.